You are listening to Punk News Podcast number 416. The trauma unit is in effect. We got a lot to cover today. A lot of stuff happening in the punk rock world. So let's get this party started. Welcome back to the Punk News Podcast. This is Features Editor John Gentile. It's the Trauma Unit, which means Tom Trauma is in the house. Reviews writer Tom Trauma. Tom Trauma, what's happening? What cool reviews have you been writing lately? What's been sparking your fire these days?
Well, I find myself at a strange crossroads, John, because I really don't have a good way to listen to digital music. So pretty much everything I've been reviewing lately has been in the physical, most of which is just stuff that I buy because I like. But I'm trying to think. I don't have anything major coming up. We got our big thing coming up here at the end of the month that I won't spoil. I did some reviews for that, and whatever shows I go to, I got a couple in October. I'm going to see October, the month we just started here. I'm going to see Social D in a week and a half, and I'm going to see The Coop at the end of the month. I don't know if I'll review either or both or what, but we'll see. We'll see how the mood strikes me.
The Coop is going to be great. Tom, are you going to? You should bring one of your friends and say, like, to your friend at Social Distortion, be like, oh, man, Mike Ness, he loves Trump. Talk about how great Trump is during this.
I don't know that I know anyone who would fall for that. But maybe. I don't know. Nobody that I'd want to hang out with, at least.
No, Tom, if you want a free 10 grand, you should go and start yelling, yeah, I love Trump.
I'd get beat up by a 5.5 foot tall 55-year-old man. That would be great.
Listen, Tom, you want dignity or money? You can't have both.
You know, you're probably right.
Adam White, as our president clearly shows, Adam White, do you want dignity or money?
You could probably buy some degree of dignity with money. Like, at the very least, you could buy clothing that makes you look like, you know, you understand how to put your own pants on, which is really the first step towards dignity.
I mean, if that was the case, wouldn't, like, Mr. T be the most dignified guy ever with all those, like, gold chains?
I think Mr. T's
fairly dignified. Like, man, that guy is dignified.
I think Mr. T actually has dignity. I would actually say Mr. T has a great deal of dignity because he won't humiliate himself for, especially about 5 or 6 years ago, like, all the late-night TV hosts would try to make him, like, make a monkey out of himself and stuff, and he wouldn't do it. Because he's Mr. T and he has certain standards.
Is he has dignity or he has no sense of humor? Because I think that might actually be the case.
I think you're right. He doesn't have a sense of humor. But I do think he has an inherent dignity, at least as per his moral code.
Hey, and John, have you ever seen the video he did about Mother's Day? The mother, there is no other. That might call into question the whole thing.
Mr. T has always said he respects mothers and thinks mothers are great because I believe he was raised by a single mother. And so I think that it's an extreme showing of dignity that he's willing to say in the era of gangster rap that mothers are cool and you should appreciate your mother.
It's become a bit of a tradition to play that on Mother's Day around here. That video.
Adam White, do you think Mr. T has dignity? Where's your stance on Mr. T's dignity?
Where's your stance on Mr. T's dignity?
I think he has an incredible amount of dignity because it's
Rocky
not so
3?
Much like...
You think he had a lot of dignity in Rocky 3?
Well, here's what I think. I think that here's a man that said, I have a certain look that I want to achieve and that I want to maintain and that I want to have pride in. And then he went for that and he maintained it. I think dignity is really maintaining your shit, right? So, if you're a guy in a suit and you have dignity, it's because, you haven't spilled hot marinara sauce all over your suit, right? You're keeping shit together. You're keeping things on the cool. And that's Mr. T, right? He's not wearing a suit. He's wearing like 300 chains and a denim shirt with no sleeves, but whatever.
Those feathery, feathery earrings. Looks good.
Yeah, so the suit is different, but I think the dignity is maintained.
Mm.
Why are we talking about this?
Okay. I don't know.
I mean, I'm happy to talk about
because it. Because, honestly, the news this week wasn't that great. Let's talk about Mr. T. I'm good with it.
I thought the news was pretty cool this week. Couple of brief things. One thing is, we still have the survey up. Adam White and I have started to go through it. Adam, it's at orgcore.com is the site for the survey, right, Adam?
Yeah, that's what I got.
So you can take it if you want it. I've been going through the people's things. I appreciate we do appreciate you taking the time to fill that out. One thing many people said, they said, John, stop interrupting other people. Adam and Tom, I certainly have interrupted you in the past. Are you annoyed by my interruptions? Because I would say that is my biggest sin on the podcast, is interrupting other people. Have I annoyed you in the past with my interruptions?
The thing is, I do it as much. I give as much as I take, so I don't really get too worried about it. I mean, none of the three of us are really wallflowers, so it's fine.
John, the most annoying thing that you do is you come up with
Let me give you the top three.
12, you come up with like a scenario that has like four different facets to it, and then you read them out, and then you say, which of those are you, or something, and then we can't figure out what they are. Like, right? You'd be like, Tom, I'm going to ask you a question here. I can't do your
and then, yeah, then you change voice, mid-course, right? But you're like, change the question. Yeah.
Yeah, like, do you think that Glenn Danzig is, the world's most, brilliant songwriter, or a tortured soul who or something else, and something that, and then you come up with this giant thing that by the time you get to the end of it, we're like I don't know, like option 5B, like I don't know what the fuck you were asking me.
I don't know. I got up to get a glass of water halfway through. I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you gotta stage those questions better, man.
Well, I'm not going to change that, but I promise I will work on trying not to interrupt people because that is annoying as a listener. But speaking of listeners, you can always reach us at podcast@punknews.org. We've got two interesting letters this week. Do you guys want the angry letter first or the weird letter first?
Angry.
Here's the angry. This is from LZard, I think, or maybe Lizard or LZard. Punk News, ha. Indie hip-hop metal news is more like it. Why do you call yourself Punk News when you play hip-hop and reggae and garage rock? Those are fine, but they are not punk. You don't even mention the new Casualties or Charlie Few records. Charlie Few is great. It's fine if you don't like punk, but don't pretend you do. Punk is a sound as well as an idea. If punk is just an idea, then you can say Nicki Minaj is punk. Oh, wait, you already did. Not punk. If you don't want to play punk, then make room for us that do. F you. From LZ Yard.
Well, I mean, I agree with a large percentage of what he's saying. And you and I don't necessarily see eye to eye on this, John, so we'll just have to agree to disagree. But I think it is a sound as well as an aesthetic. I don't try to stretch the boundaries quite as far.
I don't disagree that it is a sound as well as an aesthetic, but what I disagree with is this like make space for us to do thing. Like it's the internet. The space is infinite.
There's other
Start
shows that
your
all,
own thing.
there are other shows that all they do is play casualties, I'm sure. So
But not even that. But it's just like you could start a show that plays nothing but casualties. Like no one is stopping you. I mean, that is a criticism that we get sometimes on the website when we post a news article about something or other, and people get really bent out of shape because we'll post it and they'll attack it from the, this is off topic with whatever I think is punk standpoint, but we're usually not posting that stuff instead of something else. We're usually posting that stuff along with other things, and it's like it's the internet. It's not like we're crowding the more interesting story.
I can't believe you put a Weezer story up when the Casualties put out a new song.
Well, no, I'm not even knocking on the Casualties, right? Like if that's your thing, that's your thing. That's cool. I just mean that, like, usually when we do this stuff,
I should probably give him a second chance with a new singer, honestly.
Like, it's just that, like, we do this stuff, it's usually not. It's not crowding out something. It's not like you have a newspaper that has like 14 pages, and if you do a story about, say, the coup, all of a sudden you're not going to be able to fit a story about the casualties in there because you only have so much physical space. Like, it's the internet. You can put as much shit as you want on there. So, like, A, I don't really buy that argument. B, by all means, if you're not cool with the mix of stuff that we tend to talk about on here, you are encouraged, and this is not a malicious thing, you're encouraged to, like, to get out there and, like, make your own culture, like, build your own thing. If there's something that you think should, you know, people should be talking about or should be getting excited about, and the rest of the world isn't giving that to you, then you got to be the guy to get out there and to do it. So,
and we're always looking for reviews. If you want to submit reviews, I'll run them.
Fuck, if you want to write about the casualties for Punk News, we have a place for you to write about the casualties.
John, what was that other band he said he mentioned?
The Charlie Few.
Charlie Few. I must plead ignorance on that. I'm going to try to Google them at lunch tomorrow.
And this is one of the weirder letters we've got. I don't know what this is in reference to, but I think it's got to be in reference to something. It's from Artbrief, and the subject line is Adam White, the Blockade Runner fan fiction. And here's the letter. The Canadian government called Adam on the phone. Adam, we need to get the secret CM to America, but we don't have the change to pay the toll. We only have bills. Can you help your country? Adam White, the Blockade Runner, put on his shades. Yes, he said. Five Mounties gave Adam White, the Blockade Runner, the secret serum. Adam White then got in his Volvo. Welcome back, Adam. The Volvo spoke to Adam. We've got an important mission today, Lit. Adam White, the Blockade Runner, said to his car. We've got to run a blockade. The pair sped up to the American line. Sure enough, a blockade had formed on the American side. There were 500 American police cars. America's sheriff spoke through a megaphone. We know why you're here, Adam White, the Blockade Runner, but go back. You'll never run this blockade. We'll see about that, Adam said. It looks like we're going to have to jump. It's too dangerous, said Lit the Volvo. I don't care, said Adam White, the Blockade Runner. I'm doing this for Ken. I'm doing this for Ken. He put on a pair of sunglasses over top of the pair that he was already wearing. He then put on a Topanga CD into Lit, which was voiced by William Daniels. Wink, wink. He then gunned the gas and sped towards the blockade. Adam White then hit the red jump button on Lit's dashboard. The car leapt up completely over the blockade and landed safely on the other side, well within the American border. No! Screamed America's sheriff. Adam White, the Blockade Runner, put on another pair of shades over the top of his other two pairs. Next time, Adam White, the Blockade Runner, said as he sped away, off to deliver the secret serum, next time. Next time, Adam White, the Blockade Runner, said America's sheriff, next time. To be continued.
Wow. That's not quite as inspired as that little piece of fiction that Adam sent me last week, but not bad. Not bad. Adam, what is he talking about? You have any idea?
I thoroughly approve. I mean, these blockades need to be run. So,
I mean, nobody's arguing that the blockades don't need to be run.
They need to be run, Tom. If they're not run, then they're just going to be
Detroit,
walking.
Adam. I assume you're going to take the nearest crossing.
First, we take Manhattan.
Mm.
Then we take Berlin.
Just like the Muppets.
Yeah, this is great. I'm cool with this. I'm good with all the sunglasses. The Knight Rider angle is not one that I would have put together myself, but that's
a Volvo square station wagon. But it's like a square station wagon. They shouldn't be jumping things.
If you think about it, a Volvo really seems like a Canadian car. We should just take those over.
A lot of people do call Canada the new Sweden.
The Volvo of the North. So, Sweden is probably
that,
more north than where we are. That was very good. I'm happy. Please send in more fan fiction that is not sexual regarding me. Or if it is sexual, then we have like a secret After Dark podcast.
It was actually 50 Shades of Grey fan fiction.
What if we did have like a Punk News for Adult podcast?
For adults. This is for the children.
Well, we certainly wouldn't be on it.
Listen, actually, there's this comic strip. I used to read this comic strip called PvP. You guys ever read PvP? It's an online comic strip.
Never heard of it.
I used to read a lot. I used to really like
it. It's right up there with Charlie Few on my never heard of it list.
I liked it for a long time, but then it got just very bland. The guy that did that comic strip was on a podcast called Surviving Creativity. And there was another podcast on there where a guy did a superhero comic strip, but then you could pay him money and he would draw you dirty pictures of the superheroes.
Oh, yeah.
Which seems extremely pervy to me. And it was called, well, I'll just say, the comic strip is called Heroes Incorporated, but you could pay for a pervy one called, I don't know what it was called, like Heroes Incorporated Adults or whatever.
Let's just say Heroes Incorporated, giving it the corporate angle of it, seems about right, huh?
And like the PvP comic strip, the one I like is basically a family-friendly strip. But on the podcast, they all talked about this like this was like a normal thing. That's pretty pervy, right?
I don't know.
I don't know. If someone came up with like a pervy version of my day job that I was supposed to do for extra money, that would feel very strange to me.
I mean, but there's like pornography though that is like Marge Simpson, right? Like cartoon porn, like people watch that, right? I mean, I don't know. I don't know, John. A lot of people are into a lot of stuff.
Well, that's true.
We'll spend the rest of this episode instead of talking about the casualties or whatever, just looking up what kind of cartoon porn exists. What about
that porn where they take like a celebrity's face and like put it on like a porno chick's body? Have you seen this?
Sorry. Tom's like, you guys seen this internet? There's crazy shit on the internet. I'd love to do a show about like where each week you come on and like a different porn that Tom's discovered exists.
He's like, oh my gosh, two girls and one guy? Oh my god.
if you're just flustered and flabbergasted about like whatever you happen to find. The secret is that as we go, the things that you find are just become more and more normal.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, speaking of
this is a weird episode so far.
That's what we aim for.
You can always use that podcast at punknews.org. We love your fan fiction. We love your hate mail. We love your love mail. Anything you want. Just keep it PG-13, maybe a little R, but not too hard.
The scary thing, Adam, the guy who wrote the fan fiction is far more likely to show up at your door with like a giant knife than the guy who wrote in to say you suck or that we suck or whatever. So
that's the price of success,
I guess.
Well, you can reach the podcast at punknews.org. Very quickly, I saw Screaming Females on Friday. They were awesome. You have got to go see the Screaming Females on this tour. I think they play basically the same set every night. Like different bands have different styles. I think Screaming Females like build a set before tour and then do that unique set for the whole tour. This current tour is like basically all the rippers. None of the slower stuff, just like jam after jam after jam. Go see Screaming Females. This tour, they're great. They're on tour now. The next night, as everyone knows, I'm a big Bow Wow Wow fan. And at Philadelphia, there was this thing called the Lost 80s Live Show. And it was Gene Loves Jezebel, Bow Wow Wow, and Emotion, who I've never even heard of before, but people seem to know. When in Rome, which I've never heard of before, but people seem to know. Wang Chung, Naked Eyes, and Flock of Seagulls. And I don't really care about any of those bands except for I'm a huge Bow Wow Wow fan and I'm a pretty big Flock of Seagulls fan. So I'm like, oh man, I want to go see that. Except, guess how much do you guys think tickets were for that show?
Well, it's at an arena, right?
Not a big theater. Big theater.
Okay, so when it played here, a similar tour, slightly different lineup, some of the same. It played at the big hockey rink, and the cheap seats might have been 30, and probably up from there. But this is an 11,000 seat place.
That seems like the kind of show where you could charge 50, prices to bucks. Adults that don't normally go to shows, and they would pay it. So the prices are probably a little bit higher than you would expect. That's where I'm going.
$65 online, and I'm like, I'm like, there's no way I'm paying $65 to see Flock of Seagulls. I like Flock of Seagulls, but I'm not paying $65 to see Flock of Seagulls. So I'm like, but I'll outsmart these guys. This is not going to sell out, and I'll go. You see, when I went to see Dead Milkmen last week, I could not give free tickets away. So I'm like, I'll go and I'll just get free tickets from someone else. So I go down there, and it's mostly people that are like 50, you know, so people that were like teenagers in the 80s.
Well, I grew up in the 80s. You know, that was my main cultural touch point. It was the 80s. I still never heard of a couple of those bands, but anyway. But yeah, we're in our 40s now, 40s, push, you know, 40, 45, 50, some of us. So yeah, they got money. We got money, a little bit, hopefully.
So I'm standing outside the venue, and I'm like, I can't wait to get all these free, sweet, sweet tickets. And people walk up by me, and I'm like, you have any spare tickets? And people are, like, terrified of me again. I don't know what people were terrified of me. Some people thought
It might not be the ticket. The ticket thing might not be what terrifies them, John. I'm starting to see a pattern here.
I know.
It's the trench coat. You shouldn't do that in a trench coat.
It might be because I often fold my arms when I stand. And like people, I'm like, you have any extra tickets? And people are like, here's our tickets. And I'm like, oh, great, you're selling them? They're like, no, these are our tickets. And like a lot of people thought I was a bouncer for some reason. But I wasn't like, I was standing on the sidewalk down the street from the venue. Like, I don't know why people thought I was a bouncer.
Just because you were wearing a black T-shirt that says staff on the back in white letters.
I should have been like, I'll need to take those tickets and make sure they're legit. I'll be right back.
Oh, these are counterfeit. I'm gonna have to empower.
So man, I'm like out there for like 30 minutes. I'm like, you got any extra tickets? Any extra tickets? Not a single person had extra tickets. And I'm like, there's no way I'm gonna pay $65 to see Bow Wow Wow and Flock of Seagulls. And so 45 minutes goes by. No, probably 300 people went past me. Not a single person had extra tickets. And then I hear Bow Wow Wow's coming up next. I'm like, God damn it. So I go and I spend $60 to see Bow Wow.
I'll say you saved $5, dude, because you bought them at the box office. At least Ticketmaster didn't get their pound of flesh.
I'm such a sucker. So I go in and it's Gmail to Jezebel, which is fine. Then Bow Wow Wow comes out, but it's really just Annabella, and it's like she just has a backing track. There's no band. And as I
really
like every band was only doing like three songs except for like the last few. You know what I mean? Like they would do their three hits, and some of the bands didn't even have three hits. And they would
probably do like three hits or they're like their hit and like two other hits from similar artists from the same time.
Right. Well, I saw a couple of groups did do that. You're correct. Like Girls Just Want to Have Fun and that kind of a thing. Anyway, Annabella comes out and like it wasn't great because it was a backing track. She only did three songs. She did Do You Want to Hold Me? She did, of course, I Want Candy, and she might have done like C30, C60, C90 Go or something like that.
Not What Boys Want?
No, that's the Waitresses.
Oh.
Which actually is a great band. Like there's a double CD compilation called The Complete Waitresses, and that is might be my favorite new wave CD. Like that,
they have one hit, and I need two CDs
because both of their albums actually are like really good. The Waitresses are like a great friggin' band. Oh. She comes out, but I mean, like I you don't really think about this, but Annabella, who is was in Bow Wow Wow, was formed after the Sex Pistols. She's actually a little bit older than the rest of them. And so, like, her live performance was, like, super energetic. She sounded great. She's, like, moving all around the stage. And, like she sounded great. And like, I got to see her, which was cool. But she only played for, like, 9 minutes. But, like it only underscored how awesome Bow Wow Wow is and how it was kind of a bummer that she was just there for, like, 9 minutes. And, like, she didn't have a live band with her. And how she kind of blew almost everybody else just off the stage. Because what I also saw when I saw, like, When in Rome and Naked Eyes, like, most 80s hits, the musicians don't actually do anything. Like it's basically just like not electronic beats.
Synthesizer, yeah.
Yeah, and then they'll like Naked Eyes did. There's always something there to remind me.
Ah, yes.
And then he like shakes his hiney for like a minute, and then he goes again. There's always something. Like that's all the song is. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So. Like it was, but maybe Annabella like just wants to cat. Like, listen, she's not up there to like do high art. Like, I think she knows. Everybody knows the deal there. You know what I mean? So maybe she's just happy to cash a paycheck. But it really like I'm like, wow, man, I would really love to see. I saw Annabella twice at a full show, and it was amazing. And I'm like, I would really love to see her do a full show again. Last time she toured the East Coast, not a whole lot of people came out, so it's probably not financially worthwhile. I'm like, well, maybe Punk News could bring her out somehow, but that'd be tough to make that profitable. You know what I mean? But man, like Annabella is so cool. I just wish she kind of got more of a do. And maybe the reason she doesn't get as much to do is because she is a woman of color from the early 80s, and she was kind of exploited at a young age, you know. But she's such a phenomenal talent. So anyways, When in Rome played her songs, which I don't know any of them, and Emotion, like, but I mean, I don't want to be a hater because like no one's going to, like, this is high art. They're like, let's hear the hits of the 80s. You know what I mean? So anyway, Wang Chung come out, and they did some stupid songs. I was kind of being a hater. I'm like just kind of standing there. And then they did Let's Wang Chung Tonight. And I'm not going to lie, the power of Wang Chung came over me, and I was Wang Chunging. Like, I genuinely enjoyed the song Let's Wang Chung Tonight.
Remember we had that like three times in a row I was on, and we ended up talking about Wang? I realize this is a different context, but we're back to Wang.
well, like, I don't know what it was, boys, but I was overcome with the power of Wang Chung, and I was it was fun.
And you were sober.
And I was sober. And anyway, afterwards, Flock of Seagulls came out and did about a 40-minute set, and Annabella and Flock of Seagulls were the only group that, like, didn't do, like, it's the 80s. You know, we love the 80s. Like, the Flock of Seagulls guys, they kind of did, like, the Gary Numan thing, where they're before industrial, but they kind of dressed like industrial guys with, like, all black and black sunglasses. And Flock of Seagulls did, like, super energetic, hard-driving, basically the first album. And Flock of Seagulls was real cool. I'd love to see Flock of Seagulls in a full setting. As I said before, in case the listeners don't know, Flock of Seagulls is thought as an 80s group, but they're really, like, kind of before the, like, the 80s music. And their first album, like, is amazing, like, super dark, super almost, not goth, but getting kind of that dark realm 80s synth-punk sort of texture. It was real cool to see. So, anyways, that was my 80s adventure, and I'm a terrible scalper. Listen, speaking of scalping, we talked about this before, Tom. I'm glad you're on the podcast because you were here. Ticketmaster basically had a convention for ticket resellers through the Ticketmaster website. And at the convention, Ticketmaster basically said, if you're scalping and using bots to buy tickets and automatically inflate the price, we don't care because we make money off of the percentage of tickets sold. So we're not looking too into it if you've got bots or doing illegal things. That's not our problem. The CBC did an undercover report and got that all on tape. All three of us said nothing's going to change. However, just yesterday, I believe it was, a class action was filed against Ticketmaster for alleging that they are part of a ring or method or system of helping scalpers illegally inflate prices because Ticketmaster, of course, reaps that benefit. So the suit was just filed, so who knows what's going to happen. Of course, Ticketmaster is denying it. As astute readers might remember, Ticketmaster was hit with another class action about 4 or 5 years ago for adding $3 onto every ticket just to add on $3. Like, they didn't even explain why they were doing it. They're just like, we're just going to tack on $3 more on top of our other fees. That case did not go to trial. It settled, and of course, we all got a whopping reward of $3 to $5 credit off select shows such as Toby Keith and Toby Keith. So anyway,
only to be used online to guarantee that you got screwed on all your fees properly.
Right, right. So anyway, the point being is, I'm glad to see Ticketmaster getting sued by a class action, but I don't have hopes for this to really change anything. And it really is scary how Ticketmaster just keeps doing illegal things, and it never really hurts them. And Ticketmaster kind of, this serves as a symbol. I mean, if this is what Ticketmaster is doing, think about what medicine companies or lending companies or those kinds of things are up to. If this is what Ticketmaster, who just sells bullshit tickets, is up to.
Yeah.
So nothing's going to change, right?
No, John and I are going to get, you know, a handful of $5 vouchers for
Toby Keith
or whatever. Yeah, I have an account now. I didn't at the time when the last one went down because I was just didn't buy tickets. I was anti bigger shows, but I've kind of warmed up to going back to bigger shows. But anytime I can, I buy at the box office. Like you were saying the other night, you know, at your Best of the 80s thing there, or whatever it was. It, you know, you bought directly from the box office. You might have paid $5 more day of, but you saved $10 in fees, you know, or $20 in fees. So,
Can I get it in this lawsuit? We have a Ticketmaster. Can I get one?
Yes.
Sorry, Canadians are excluded. Probably. I don't know. Read the
we broke part. The story.
Ugh.
There should be a consolation prize. It's the fucking Canadian broadcasting.
You
know,
you're right, because if we're getting like $5, you should get like $7, honestly. Just the way the currency exchange works.
This is horseshit. We need a new NAFTA, boys. We need one where I can get in on your lawsuits. We're gonna rename it though. The current name is boring, and it's the worst deal ever. So what we'll do is we'll basically get the same deal, but with some sensible modern changes to it, but we'll call it something different, and then people will think we really did something other than make everyone angry. So we're going to call it like, what are we going to call it? Something cool.
It eludes me. Anything cool eludes me.
How about the new trade agreement brought to you by Walmart, presented by McDonald's?
There you go.
Oh, no. Something catchy. Like,
no, it had to be Tim Hortons, John. The ultimate Canadian business.
That's owned by Burger King. Let's see. We called it NAFTA. That's got a ring.
There you go.
Like a strong consonant in the middle of it. NAFTA. Oh, no, wait. Fuck. We'll come up with a name. It'll be great, though.
Next week.
What are we talking about?
Tell me to play songs.
How do we feel about Ticketmaster? So is there anything we need to, is there anything else we need to say about this other than the fact that none of us have any confidence that anything good will come of it and that the lawyers are the only ones who are going to get any money off this, and those of us who are actually getting screwed by Ticketmaster are going to continue to get screwed by Ticketmaster?
In this fucking toilet of a world that we live in, there is no hope in hell that Ticketmaster will be reformed or made better or made not fuck everyone around. Like, that is so low on the list of, like, you know, crimes against humanity that are happening that it, they're just going to keep on keeping on and doing what they do. And probably some of you that sign up on a website are going to get a check in the mail for $11 or something.
Oh, it's not going to be a check. It's going to be credit. It involves you getting re-screwed to use it. I guarantee it.
That's it. I was a member of the class that sued Sony when they rootkitted everyone's computers back in the early 2000s. Do you remember this? Where, like, they would, like, when back when, like, enhanced CDs were a thing and they had a... you know, there'd be like a little computer program or something that was on the CD where you could, like, you know, watch some videos or do some like pre-social media shit, right? And it turns out that if you put one of these CDs, like, just physically placed it into your computer, it would, like, auto-run some software that Sony had written that would basically really get into the craw of whatever version of Windows was around back in, like, 2002. And purposefully install some, like, anti-counterfeiting stuff that you did not request or, like, explicitly allow them to do. And they got sued for this, and I got a check for it. It was either $7 or $11, but, you know, I forget what I had. I had, like, a Kaiser Chiefs CD or something weird like that. Yeah. Some early 2000s bullcrap. Anyways, I'm gonna play a song. This is from a band from Liege, or I think it's Liege, Belgium. Liege. Someone that understands that particular French accent in the Belgian context, feel free to hop in. It's a synth-punk duo. The duo is called Le Prince Harry. So they're crossing the Atlantic for the first time to play their first Canadian tour later in October, so hopefully someone hears the show by that time. And they're playing with a whole bunch of bands that are really super cool. They're playing with New Vogue in Montreal, which is which is like an offshoot band from Sonic Avenues. They're playing with Flesh Rag a bunch of times, which is this TV Freaks-related band out in Hamilton. They're playing with the mighty Man-Made Hill in Hamilton, who is just – we've talked about Man-Made Hill on this show a few times. It was the weirdest – show you'll ever see. So anyways, they're coming in and they're playing a bunch of shows. One of these shows in Montreal is going to be for the North American release of a split tape that they had done with Montreal's Duchess Says.
Ooh.
Now they put out this tape with Duchess Says back in 2015, actually, but it was only a European thing. It was released on Teenage Menopause Records in Paris. So there is a label that has popped up. It's a fairly new label in Montreal called Mothland Records, and they're going to be putting it out here. So that show on October 19th, which, again, I don't know if you're going to hear that before you hear this, whatever, is the launch for that. So anyways, they're coming in, and they are cool. And, like, if you're aware of Duchess Says and the kind of frantic, loud, angry synth punk that they do, these guys do that and other newest stuff. They get way out into, like, industrial, electronic, grindy craziness. So this is a song from that split. It is called Electric Eye. It's actually a song that had a video made for it, so you can go look at that video if you want on YouTube. And so this is a band called Le Prince Harry from Belgium, and the song is Electric Eye off their split with Duchess Says.
And that was Le Prince Harry doing Electric Eye. Tom Trauma, what band do you and I enjoy that also has a song called Electric Eye?
Judas Priest, of course.
Indeed.
I'm electric!
Well, speaking of bands that are soaring across the universe, F'd Up have released two videos, and by the time you hear this, the new album will be out. The video they released was for Accelerate, and I think they also released a video for Dose Your Dreams. They did, or at least a track for Dose Your Dreams. I've heard the new album. I ran an interview with Punk News. I reviewed the record that will run on Friday, so it'll be up by the time you hear this. I gotta say, boys, I don't know if you remember the whole album or just the video, but F'd Up have released their best record to date, Dose Your Dreams.
The title track, which was streaming at the same time as the Accelerate video, it is super cool. It is super funky. There's like a dance beat going on in it. Both these songs actually really make the point of how, or make the point, I guess is not the right word, but they really demonstrate how this is a changed band and how really the various creative forces are all showing up more front and center in the songs than was previous. So like previously, you know, Damien was the face of the band because he was doing, of course, all the vocals, being the vocalist, and that was that. And people that say weren't aware of the inner workings of this band would look to Damien as Fucked Up in a lot of cases. But you know, Fucked Up is really the creative thing of Mike Halchuk, and this is probably like the first record of theirs where Mike and Ben and everyone else, you know, becomes a little bit more like visible.
Falco,
from a vocal standpoint, you know, what word you used?
Falco's a big part of this record too.
Yeah, and these two songs actually demonstrate that really well, because Dose Your Dreams is Mike Halchuk's vocals right until the end when Damien comes in and does the last chorus. And Accelerate is all Ben Cook until, you know, Damien pops up in it, but that's Ben singing that. Yeah, and Falco is singing on songs too. I mean, this isn't even taking into account the guest vocalists that they have on this. So it's a cool concept in that, like, everyone shows up and takes part in the vocals that are on there, and I just think it's such an interesting way for this band to go. I mean, outside of the instrumental craziness that's happening on this record, but just seeing that, like, the mix of personalities come more to the forefront of their songs, I think it's neat. It's cool. And the interviews, yours included, John, that have been coming out about this record have been super interesting on all sorts of levels. There was an interview in Exclaim last week. There's an interview in Noisy, and then there was yours. And like in all of these, you really get like a pretty candid look at the dynamics and the inner workings of this band. And the one thing I really want to comment on is that I don't feel that like people on the internet get it to the same degree that I would expect them to.
Get what?
So, well, the inner strife, like the tension that exists within Fucked Up has always been, for me, like part of what makes them interesting. Like they've always been a band that's felt like it's on the verge of collapse. Like everyone's like, in the past, there's been all these stories about how like everyone's this, you know, this guy's feuding with this guy, and you know, everyone's always on the verge of just tearing the whole thing down because there's so many big personalities that are in there. And to me, for like as an audience member, that makes for an interesting narrative that surrounds an artist, right? Like the Beatles are way less interesting if you take out, you know, all the tension between Lennon and McCartney, right? Like if everyone was just like bros the whole time, and you know, everyone's rowing in the same direction and everyone has the same intent for what they're doing, I feel like the art that you get loses a dimension, loses a dynamic. And Fucked Up has always been this band that's always just been like, you know, just about to fall apart. And that's what makes it really interesting. So you look at some of the interviews about this, and you see, you know, Damien taking this like really humbled stance where he admits that, like, you know, he he wasn't even aware that they were working on this record to the degree that they were, and that like all the vocals were pretty much, you know, written, and he showed up, and you know, he didn't have the same artistic pull or the same collaborative role that he did on their prior record, and how he's grappling with that, and how he's coming to terms with sort of like his shifted role in that band compared to what it was, and how, you know, this or that person didn't want to keep it going and this person did, and all this stuff, right? You read all that, and so I read it and I go, I'm like, wow. I'm like, this band's story is cool. And going to see them live is going to be great, because I'm going to go and I'm going to look on stage and I'm like these people are sort of, they're united on stage by this music. They're not united on this stage because they're all like chums, right? Like there's a higher power, right, that's driving this thing than just like a bunch of buds making music. And that's super interesting to me. But I've been looking at like the online reaction to some of the articles that are detailing this tension, and people do not take it that way. So I saw that like Damien shared the Exclaim article, the interview on Instagram, and just a lot of the responses were just people either A, misreading that like he was completely done and out of the band, or B, people just being like, oh, like I'm so bummed reading this. Like, oh, I'm so sad. Like, I'm like, why are you sad or bummed reading this? Like, this is the drama. Like, this is what you want from your entertainment in this realm. Like, this is all the crazy shit that actually makes this band good. Because if everyone all showed up in the studio and, you know, no one ever had a problem with anything, and everyone was just, you know, happy-go-lucky, it would not be the same band. The output wouldn't be the same. So I don't know. I like the drama, John.
It's funny you say that, Adam, because in my review, which will have been published, I basically say the drama is not what matters with this band.
No, the drama is not what matters from if you could sit down and listen to the band, that like you sit down and listen to the music, you can enjoy it on that level. I just mean that like they don't need to all love each other for you to enjoy the songs, I guess is what I'm getting at. Like, I'm reacting to just all the people that I saw like commenting on Instagram and being like, oh, this is, you know, I was reading about all the drama in the band, like, oh, that's terrible. And I'm like, no, it's not. That's what's created this.
I'm a huge fan of the band. I think the new record's fantastic. The theme of the past 4 years of Effed Up is Mike saying, I want to keep this band going, let's keep doing it. And Damien, like, I don't know if I really want to do this anymore. I don't know if I can keep doing this, you know. And we've had that story for about 4 years now. And do you think... I'll just be honest. I'm beginning to get a little tired of Damien saying, I wanted to end the band. I wanted to leave the band. Here I am. We're doing it again. And I like Damien a lot, but I just wonder if that story is getting a little old. And I mean, it's easy for me to say that because he's got what, two or three kids. He's got a wife, and I believe he's got a house. That dog takes money. And being in a band is not the most stability. The level of the band that effed up is they're making money and they're making enough money to live, but it's not stable. Whereas if you're, you know, if you're U2 or whatever, you're making plenty of cash. Or if you're Crazy in the Brain, you're not making any money really. So you don't worry about the money aspect of the band because you're not making that much, you know. So if I understand that Damien has pressures, but I definitely want Damien in the band, and I would miss him a great deal if he wasn't in the band. But I wonder if he's been playing I don't know if I can be in the band any long. For too long. And also I wonder, is he saying that because he really can't be in the band, or is he just having more fun doing the wrestling shows and that kind of a thing? You know what I mean? And I realize I'm coming off as kind of hard on him, but that's just how I've been feeling and thinking. But maybe my perception is incorrect.
Was it, this is where like I might be misreading it, but my read from seeing Damien in these interviews is that, and this is what I kind of suspect. I read that Damien remains in the band, but he has what is the right word here? He's surrendered his vote? Authority over, like, or he's this is gonna sound so bad. He has surrendered to Mike, right? Like he's decided that, like, you know what? Like the artistic thrust of Fucked Up is at least at this point one that's coming from Halchuk. And old Damien would have fought that. But I think he's willing to now to say that, you know what, like I didn't fight it this time, and it turns out the results are really good. So I'm just not going to fight that. And like that was sort of the impression I got. Now I think that what that also means is that future Fucked Up stuff, if it exists, may end up being more a mix of the various vocalists within the band and a mix of the guest vocalists that they're bringing in. And Damien is like a flavor within that, but he is not necessarily, you know, the figurehead of it. And from what I've been reading, it's like he sort of resigned himself to that, but in a way that like he's a little bit freed by it. Like none of the new interviews where I've read with Damien seem like he is all that angsty about Fucked Up right now. It's all like, I was angsty about Fucked Up, and he had certain things he wanted to say with Glass Boys, and then with that out of the way, like he wasn't sure where, like if the band even had a place anymore, either for him or like as a band, and you read all of that tension into it. But I feel that like the Damien right now is sort of like saying like, no, you know what, like if this band keeps going or not, like it's Mike's. And I'm involved, but I'm not the one that's steering the ship. And that in a way, like, he seems very peaceful. Like, there's like a very like Zen version of Damien when you read a lot of these articles right now. So, you know, I kind of see that as being a potential future. I'm not reading into it what all like the people on Instagram are reading into it, which is like, oh no, Damien is out of the band, fuck, right? I'm positive though that no one in that band has planned past like the tour that they're doing. It just doesn't seem like them.
Tom.
I don't know.
I don't know anything about this band. I am indifferent to this band. I don't have an opinion about the future of this band. I really don't care about this band. I watched this new video for this song, the $4 video, and it reminded me of Ministry or something. I mean, it was fine. It was probably twice as long as it should have been, but it's not for me. I know it's one of those bands that I probably should put a little effort into getting into some of the early stuff, but yeah, I have no opinion, guys.
That's respectable.
You guys are just like shocked about my like lack of opinion about something, but yeah, I don't really care.
Well, do you care about poor defenseless people getting hit by SUVs, Tom? That's the question.
Not particularly, but we'll talk about it anyway.
Tally Osborne, who was, of course,
Canadian,
who is Canadian, and who was celebrated by NoFX as Nubs, and I think that's actually like a nickname she didn't mind. She was going down the street in her. She doesn't have working arms or legs. She was going down the street in her mobility chair to go to the grocery store, and she was hit by an SUV. The SUV driver jumped out, and so did witnesses, and they helped her back in her chair. And she was not, at the time, it did not appear that she was severely harmed. However, she called the police in order to file a report for insurance, because you never know, maybe you really are hurt, or who knows what might happen. So she wanted to file a police report. Well, apparently the police got there, and they started blaming her. They said that they couldn't do anything because she was on private property, a sidewalk. They asked her if she knew the Highway Traffic Act. They said she was moving too fast and was at fault. She was crying at the time and did not get the response from the police she was hoping for, so she filed a complaint with the police. I guess one question is
so the police treated her badly, so she filed a complaint with the police. I'm sure that's going to go places.
Right. Well, I mean, the main reason I post this article is because I've had very similar. When I used to live in California, the police used to harass me all the time. Like the point of the police is to help people, and I realize that being a police officer is a very difficult job. I know you're dealing with difficult people all day long, but I think the police could have better, I guess, sensitivity training, if you will. And if someone doesn't have arms and legs and is hurt, no matter the circumstance, you don't need to yell at them, even if they're wrong, which I don't know that she was wrong. But, like, your job as a police officer is to de-escalate. And pretty much every police officer I've ever met, they've always escalated, not de-escalate. Their job is to de-escalate situations, but they always seem to escalate situations. I'm sure there are good cops out there, but when I lived in California, I got pulled over 14. When I lived in California, I got pulled over 14 times. Do you guys know how many tickets I got?
14.
Zero.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that. You know what? As a long-haired kid, I had all kinds of problems.
You know, I mean, I got handcuffed. I'll tell a quick story. Is when I was studying for the bar exam, I used to do this weird thing where I would ride my bicycle around at 2 a.m. because, like, I was done. I mean, that's weird, but it's not illegal. You know what I mean? So I was riding my bicycle down the street, and the cops pull up behind me. They did the slow crawl. You guys know the cop slow crawl when you're like, oh, my God, I know they're going to start some problems. So they get behind me, they put on the high beams, they pull up next to me, and they hit me with the side light, you know what I mean? They turn on their flashers, and they pull me over on my bicycle. And they get out, and they start going, they're like, we saw two Mexican, this is me quoting him, we saw two Mexican guys breaking into cars. Do you know anything about that? And I'm like, we saw two Mexican guys breaking into cars stealing TVs. Do you know anything about that? And I'm thinking, do I look like two Mexican guys with a TV? You know, and then they start going, we've got an effing tough job. You know, we're dealing with MFers all day long. And I realized that they were trying to rough me up or something. So I said, officer, I've been nothing but polite to you. I haven't used any foul words. Please don't use any foul words again around me. And they're like, we apologize. And they say, well, who are you? Where are you? You know, they give me the ninth degree. And they start doing MFer again. MFer, not at me, but kind of around me. You know what I mean? And so I said, officer, I'm not using any foul words. Do you need anything else from me or can I go? And they're like, fine, you can go. You know what I mean? So it was clear that it's always cops in suburbs that are always – I've never been harassed in the city. It's always cops in suburbs.
In the city, they have real problems.
Right, right. So it's always bored cops driving around causing trouble. You know what I mean? Do you guys want to hear my movie theater story?
Hold on, I want to know. People were stealing TVs out of cars?
No, that's bull.
Okay.
It was two bored cops. I mean, I'm white, you know what I mean? I don't look like two Mexican guys, and that's their words, not mine. You know what I mean?
No, you certainly don't.
You look like the type of guy who would buy a TV from a Mexican guy, John.
But I mean, I'm riding on my bicycle. Like, how could I possibly be two Mexican guys stealing a TV on my bicycle?
I mean, John, the most people riding their bikes at 2 a.m. are PCP freaks. I mean, the fact that they pulled you over is not a surprise.
It could have been one of those double bikes.
I mean, honestly, yeah. You're true, but that's bullshit. Riding your bicycle. Riding your bicycle at night is weird, but it's not illegal, and it certainly doesn't give you the cops the right to pull you over or harass you. You know what I mean?
And they should have, the conversation should have been over in 1 minute.
They were looking to cause trouble. You know, maybe they were looking for reasons to, like, search me or something. Maybe they thought I had something on me. I don't know. I didn't. You know, I'm not a criminal.
Before you tell some random story about something, I just want to say that, like, that sucks for telling.
No.
Which is what we were talking about before we got on to your problems.
Yeah, I take it back. I'm wrong. That was very self-centered of me. Adam White, poor Talia. I mean, like, is this news? And also, like, what can she do? Or you know, I mean, wow. Does this just underscore the fact that police need de-escalation training, which they clearly do not have?
It's hard to give them de-escalation training, John, when you're arming them with tanks and like military surplus equipment.
Are driving around in surplus tanks. But point taken, it's probably a cultural thing. I know Tally. I see her at shows and things like that. You know, we've hung out and things where I can't understand how she could be in any situation where she is the one that instigated the traffic problem or whatever, where they said she was going too fast. that just doesn't seem like it makes a lot of sense. But so I don't know. I hope she's okay. I mean, she's not. I'm sure she's not getting any over the cops thing. But you know, if we could help amplify her complaint, then that's cool.
I'm always amazed by the people that like take on a punk side. People take the cops' side. It's like, yeah, the cops are on the right when this poor woman without arms or working legs got hit by a car. The cops are in the right. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I mean,
cops are the worst, dude. Cops are the worst. It's the one universal.
I listened to a Henry Rollins podcast today, and he says I want to like cops, but they make it so difficult. You know, and that's the truth. We need cops. Cops are essential. You know what I mean? But man, it's like. It's rare to have a good interaction with a cop. You know what I mean? At least in the suburbs. Well, or in the city. If you're a person of color, in the city's a different story. You know what I mean? But man, I mean.
Dude, better a person of color in the city than a person of color in the suburbs.
That's true, too. You know, but. So the fact is, I mean, Ticketmaster, the police, a lot of things need a lot of overhaul.
And I suspect they're working together.
Well, actually, you bring up a good point.
Another story.
Scalpers used to be all over until the police arrested them, and now Ticketmaster scalps their own tickets.
Yeah, on their own website.
Yeah.
Someone play a song before John goes way off.
John, you want the next one or you want me to go?
I'll play a track by the new Effed Up record. The new Effed Up record's great. This is one of the songs off of the album. It's called Dose Your Dreams. Go out and get this record. It is good. We'll be right back. And we're back. I guess Tom's right. Not a whole lot of huge news this week. Just a little bit of little news. Leftover Crack. Two quick. Leftover Crack is putting out a new rarities compilation. It's called the E Sides and the F Sides, and basically, it's a compilation of the Rock the 40-ounce 7-inch, the split with F minus the Leftover Crack side, the split with Citizen Fish, and it looks like maybe like four or five other songs. Including, well, some of the outtakes from the F World Trade album, which has already been released. Not a whole lot. I think there's only one unreleased track, which is Land Down Under, which was digital. I forgot about that track, but I'm glad to see it's getting a release. Perhaps more.
Is it like a cover of the
Men at Work track? Yeah.
Nice.
I actually forgot. I mean, I loved that when it came out, but I actually.
I mean, you forgot about that song until you heard it at the like Best of the 80s show the other day.
Yeah, yeah. They put an extended mix, actually. Leftover Crack is going on tour with Negative Approach right after Thanksgiving, running up till just before Christmas. The other opening band is Crazy and the Brains. All I'm saying, boys, who's the star maker? That's what I'm saying. Who's the
That's
star
a
maker?
Crazy bill, isn't it?
It's a cool bill. Super.
It is. It's a great bill. I don't think I'm going to make it. They're doing Detroit on a Thursday. I don't think I'm going to make it, but it's a great bill. I kind of unfortunately have the same relationship with Leftover Crack as I do with Effed Up. I'm sort of indifferent.
I'm more that way on Leftover Crack's end. I've not followed sort of the ins and outs of that band, but I totally get that they have like a crazy fervent fan base, and you know I respect that. So you know anything that's cool for them is cool. This is a Ricky story. Ricky loves these guys. You like these guys, John. You're into it.
I think we're skipping over the fact that Crazy and the Brains are opening for them.
Oh yes, yes. You are the matchmaker that has, blah blah blah.
Thank you.
The summer soirée.
Perfect. Yeah. Somebody from Leftover Crack called you and said, "Hey, can I get the number from the Leftover the Crazy and the Brains guy?"
Well, actually, yes, but that was because summer soirée because they need to rehearse together.
Ah. Oh, I get it. I see where you're going here. This Summer Soiree 2 had these two bands coming together, and gotcha.
And no one thanked me, Adam and Tom. No one thanked me.
Thank you, John.
I was very pleased to see this.
It's a weird bill. It's a cool bill. I would probably go see that show if it worked out right. But they also tease that they're going to tour a ton more, so I guess we'll see.
Well, with Leftover Crack, you never know. I mean, if you're a Leftover Crack maniac, I would not skip seeing them because most bands of a certain level are generally organized. Like, once you get to a certain level, you have to be organized in order to exist. You know, like, Off is organized. You know, Effed Up is organized to a degree. Melvins are very organized. Leftover Crack, it is astounding how disorganized that organization is. Astounding. Astounding.
Well, I am not a Leftover Crack maniac. I am a Negative Approach maniac, but I've seen them quite a few times now, so we'll see.
Well, all right. You guys want to talk about both these last two articles or just the last article?
The middle one's yours if you want it. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll just briefly mention this. This is one of the weaker aspects of Punk News in that we barely even covered Crime Watch at Punk News. Crime Watch is one of the more interesting, more, I guess, buzzy, or that's not the right word, the more interesting new hardcore bands. They're from New York. They released two music videos. I guess one of the, in hardcore right now, we're seeing an influx of non-white males being in the band, which is good. And Crime Watch is one of these bands. And at Punk News, perennially, we're still focused on white guys with beards, you know, making hot water-ish type music. And not that there's anything wrong with that, not my style, but I can understand how people appreciate that. But we at the website, and I would say even the readers, and everybody needs to kind of expand our worldview and cover more punk bands and hardcore bands like this that I guess some other publications are covering that we really should be covering and we should kind of reach out and kind of, you know, we cover all the fat bands, which is cool, but we need to reach beyond that. That's just, you know, 1/5 of the world of punk, that kind of music. You know, we need to kind of reach out to the more edgier stuff, which I'm always trying to do and we need to do. And Crime Watch is, you know, a symbol of that.
Yeah, they seem kind of cool. I watched the video. I'd be up for checking them out if I, you know, had a way to listen to digital promos.
Well, speaking of guys in beards singing about friends, Social Distortion recently played Asbury Park last Sunday. While they were there,
Mike Ness has many things, but a beard is not one of them.
While they were there, Bruce Springsteen jumped up on stage and they covered Johnny Cash, and they covered the Johnny Cash rarity Ring of Fire. Out of all the thousands of Johnny Cash songs, Ring of Fire is the one they covered.
But that's the Social D. Social D's been playing that song. I've been seeing Social D for 25 years. They've been playing that song for all of that. So
I feel like if I was in a band and like the Rolling Stones were like my band, we covered like Satisfaction, I'd be like, we're going to cover Satisfaction, here we go. You know what I mean? I feel like,
dude, he did. So Social Distortion did Ring of Fire and their self-titled album. It came out in 1990. And I agree. Ring of Fire was already a big hit by then. But, you know, his version, I mean, their version is the second most popular version of a song that's been covered a billion times. So
I disagree.
I give him a lot of leeway there. Oh, yeah? What do you think? Nitty Gritty Dirt Band?
I would say it's the third. I would say the first is probably Johnny Cash. Second is the original, the June Carter Cash version. Then
nobody knows the June Carter Cash version. And the Johnny Cash version came out before the June Carter Cash version did.
I don't believe that's accurate, Tom.
She wrote it for him.
I believe the June Carter Cash version is first.
I'm going to have to Google that shit. Damn you,
John. So hold on. To go back to your scenario that you blurted out there about the Rolling Stones, are you saying then that Devo should not have covered Satisfaction?
No, because Devo did a highly weird, warped out, whacked out version that almost, you know, it didn't make fun of the song, but it completely deconstructed the song. So if Devo covered like Soul Survivor or All Down the Line, it wouldn't be as big of a hit, or as, not a hit, as big of a statement, because that's a lesser known track. Devo's point was, we're going to warp the most well known track by this band into our own context. The Social D Distortion is, I like Johnny Cash, I'm going to cover the song everyone knows.
Well, it's very punked up, John. It's not like it's a straight rendition of it.
You're right. He has, you know, a little bit of a growl when he says, "I fell down."
The chords, come on. I mean, it's not as radical as the Devo Satisfaction, which is a totally different song with the lyrics, you know.
So,
but it's I don't know. I feel like Social Distortion gets more hate than they deserve, because they're kind of like classified as the old white guy band. You know, they might as well be, you know, frat boy rapists. And I just don't think that's a fair generalization. I think they've made some great, great music over the years, and I still like them. So you all can kiss my old white ass.
So Bruce's involvement in this, was Springsteen playing this festival otherwise, or was he just kind of like there because it was Jersey and he showed up?
I think he was not on the bill, I believe. I think See Here Now paid him to do a surprise pop-up. You know, like they said, okay, like Bruce Springsteen does not live in Asbury Park, even though like everyone thinks he does. He I don't think he ever lived there, or if he did, he hasn't lived there since like 1976, you know what I mean? So I think they paid him whatever money to act like he was just hanging around, and then he just happened to show up and get on stage and know all those chords, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, he had his guitar. He didn't just, like, jump out of the crowd and
Johnny
show
Cash
up on
released
stage.
It first, 1963, John. The first release was Johnny Cash.
Then you are correct, Tom, and I retract my statement.
Yeah, I forgive you, John.
Thank you.
Anyway, what were we talking about? Anyway, I thought this was kind of cool. I mean, it's not, I don't know if there's a whole lot of commentary on it. A couple of old white guys getting together, sing some songs.
It's you know what? If the video is fun, this seems like,
I mean, it would have been cool if you're there, right?
Yeah, that would have been fucking amazing if you were there. So I have no ill will towards any of this.
Toto or Weird Al and Weezer.
This deserves way more attention than fucking Weird Al playing with Weezer, if you ask me.
Now Weird Al with Social D, that'd be sweet, but I don't think Mike Ness has a great sense of humor.
Those would not mix.
I'll take Weird Al with Social D over Social D with Bruce Springsteen. But I'll even take Weird Al with Springsteen over Social D with Springsteen.
You know, I never saw Springsteen, and it's one of those ones where I would have liked to have seen him at some point over the years, but yeah. These older bands like him have gotten so expensive. If he came to my town, it would be $200, and I'd rather go see 10 punk shows.
Listen, Tom, he's the man of the people. So if you don't have $200 to spend on the man of the people, what does that say about you?
Yeah, he's the man of the people.
Yeah. I was going to say, you were talking about that like he was dead, and I'm like, wait, what did I miss?
Well, you know, I had an opportunity to see Tom Petty years and years ago. I'm just like, you know, whatever. And I never did see him, and now he's dead, so... You know, people do die, John, or Adam. I did get to see Michigan's equivalent of that, which is Bob Seger. He's going to do his last tour. He looks old too, but he was cool. He was cool to see once. I got tickets for free. Yeehaw.
And as we all know from the brief song "Silver Bullet," kill Bob Seger tonight.
Get out of Denver.
Just saying. Yeah, so anyways, that's your week of punk news. Do we have one more? Do you want to play a song, something by your buddy, the Sieg
there? Bob Seger.
Yeah. Is that what you call him?
It's funny because typically, you know, I try to play a Michigan band or a Midwestern band or some band that's just come to my attention, you know, some way or another. But I had ability to just feed a CD in, rip the song off it, or I had, you know, I was running a lot of MP3s, but, you know, John and I have discussed this. I was using iPod Touches still. I'm a late adapter, right? And my second iPod Touch died. So I have no real ability to listen to digital music right now. I can do a little bit on my phone, but I really don't have the ability to download large quantities of music on my phone. And I don't like to stream because I don't know, because I'm difficult. So I was saying all my reviews have come down to physical media for the most part. I think, yeah, actually, my last few. And like I said, that's actually not a problem because I still buy a shitload. I'm old and I'm old school and I still buy a lot of vinyl, buy a lot of CDs, I buy a lot of everything. So I always have stuff sitting around to review. But it's also become difficult. I used to have MP3s around all the time to play on the podcast. Or like I said, I could rip a CD and I don't really have a lot of that right now. So I'm sort of like limited to what I have on my desk. And one of the last things I downloaded before my iPod took a dump, I'm going to play. But first, actually, I'm going to make an offer to our loyal listeners. We were talking about how we want to expand our coverage of punk music a little bit. So if you want to send me an MP3, just an MP3, not a whole album, but send me your best MP3. And I will go through them, and I will play the ones that I think are appropriate. Do not send me ska. I do not love ska. I was never a ska kid. And if you're thinking, well, but you've never heard my ska band. If you hear my ska band, you'll change your mind. It won't. I guarantee it won't change my mind. And don't send me emo, because I will piss on it. And I also, I'm not looking to be some kind of – looking to do jail correspondence. I'm not looking to become pen pals. But I'm going to give you my email, my secondary email, and if you send me MP3s, if you send me good ones, I will play them. Single, clean MP3s. Send me your best one, and I'll go through them, and next time I'm on the podcast, I will play one of your songs. So write this down, kids. Tom, the letter C, the number 7, and the letter G at gmail.com. Send me your MP3s, and I will maybe play one on the podcast. And maybe if you're not a total psycho and you don't come across as a mass murderer, I'll even send you my address if you want to actually send me something physical to review, because I'm going old school on Naturalion. Anyway, that was a long speech. That's all right. You guys both had long speeches tonight. I'm going to play – one of my favorite records this year is the split between Clitorati and Violation Wound. And I've become a pretty big Clitorati fan, and I think they've – showing a little bit of growth between their albums. I mean, it's pretty much just fast, straight ahead hardcore, but it's got some nuances in it, the newest album does. So anyway, because I'm from Michigan and, you know, we're always complaining about the quality of our water, I'm going to play the Clitorati song, Water is Life. Yeah.
And we're back. You can always use that podcast. Oh, I'm sorry, that was Clitorati. And you can always use that podcast at punknews.org. Tom, any closing words for the listeners?
I think I've said enough words, John.
Adam, any closing words for the listeners in your NyQuil-affected state?
Oh, I didn't talk about the NyQuil. God, man, let's talk about NyQuil. NyQuil it is the Russian roulette of medicines. I will take NyQuil and then I will go to sleep, and then inevitably something will wake me up, and I could be, who knows? That's where you spin a wheel, right? Last night I was angry as shit. I was just like raging all over the place, mad. My kid kept waking up. My wife's like, you know, you're being an asshole. Stop being such a jerk. And I'm like, I'm so mad. And you know why? Fucking NyQuil, man. NyQuil's a trip.
Between that and your legal pot, man, you're just going to be gone to the world.
12? You couldn't be more than 5. You're so fat they have to jack you up to take off your shoes. Yeah, well, you're so skinny your eyes are in single file. Well, you're so ugly your ears stick out to get away from your face. Well, your mama is
Hold
so...
Hold it, wait a minute. Don't bring anyone mother into this. She ain't here. If it wasn't for your mother, you wouldn't be here. So remember, when you put down one mother, you put down mothers all over the world.
Somebody.